another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Accounting Firm Security to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and Information Security Expert Dave Cieslak.
Hello, Greg LaFollette, Intersection Live, the CPA Technology Advisors podcast series. We're launching a brand new monthly recurring podcast today called Accounting Firm Security to Go. And I am thrilled that I have convinced my good friend David Cieslak to join me on a regular recurring basis to talk about accounting firm security. And for those of you who know David, you know that he is the country's recognized expert in security around CPA firms, accounting firms, tax practitioners, is a regular speaker around the country and chairs the AICPA ITEC committee and a whole bunch of other things. He's a very busy guy and the smartest guy that I've ever met in terms of security. Every time I talk with him, he scares me a little bit more. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
I'm thrilled to have you here, and I'm humbled by all the initials after your name. In addition to being a CPA and a CITP, you also hold the GSEC credential. Now, that's one that I see from time to time, and it's not widely held because it's pretty darn hard to get, and it's kind of the pinnacle in the security world. Do I understand that right?
Yeah, that's actually a reasonable, you know, kind of summary of it. What happens is there's actually a few different security designations and organizations out there that really have focused from a training, education, certification perspective on IT security, and really the two popular ones. You know, one is the CISSP, which I imagine a number of folks have at least heard of or may even be familiar with. But the other one is through an organization called SANS, S-A-N-S. And they've got basically a whole series of different, you know, specialty certifications all around IT security. In fact, the guy who runs SANS, the organization, a guy named Stephen Northcutt, you know, ex-military guy. So it was really, as I was kind of considering just really furthering my own education in the IT security space, it was something I kind of looked and said, what do I think is really going to give me the deepest, best exposure to IT security? So I went and attended a boot camp, and then from there had to write a research paper that had to be approved by a board, and then take several exams. So it's kind of like doing the CPA process all over again, but the net result is I obtained one of their security certifications called the GSEC, GIAC, Security Essentials Certification. So that is the other four letters, as it were, after my name, and I will tell you, by the time I got all done with that process, it's like there was a lot to it. It was pretty involved, but what a terrific experience. Taught me a whole heck of a lot about IT security.
Well, I've heard you speak about it, and I've watched you over the years, and the depth of knowledge and your understanding in the security arena is pretty impressive. One of the things, David, that I've always been impressed with is you have a really unique ability to explain very difficult concepts in ways that even a partner in a CPA firm can understand, and that's a real challenge. So my hat's off to you on that.
Yeah, thank you. I always tell folks, I mean, I try to explain it simply just so I can simply understand it myself, that's for certain.
Well, you are a CPA. Tell me a little bit. Did you practiced at one point
yep.
as an accountant in public accounting? Where was that?
Well, I was I started off out of school with a small firm called Price Waterhouse. And
about them. They've been in all the papers.
Yeah, I think a few people have heard of them too. So I started with Pricewaterhouse, started in the audit division, and that's where I kind of got my beginnings. But really, I was going through the machine, as it were, and just getting into public accounting right as the original PC came out, and pretty instantly fell in love with not only the technology, but really looking at it and saying, what a terrific tool. And to the extent that, you know, businesses, small and medium businesses, are able to kind of throw their arms around this and do really kind of harness the power of it, they're probably capable of doing some terrific things. So not too long after I made senior at Pricewaterhouse, I actually went to go work in private industry for about 2 years, and then from there started my own firm. So that was a good number of years ago, but it's always been my passion, you know, just the technology, and really more than just the technology, leveraging and utilizing the technology as a tool within our practices, and whether that's in public accounting or private industry, but really just leveraging the tool.
Your firm, your company has grown pretty respectably over the years, and you just had a name change. Tell me about, where did Arxis come from? Tell me a little bit about your business.
Sure. You're right. I actually am blessed with three other partners. We all get along really well, and the business itself has been we've been able to do some great things together. The focus of the business really is kind of in two core pieces. One is in the technology area, which myself and one other partner really focus our energy on, and the other two partners focus their energy on, you know, some of the more traditional accounting services. Although I say traditional, we do, or at least those guys focus their attention on tax return prep, lit support, valuation, CFO for hire type stuff. We don't do audits, reviews, some of those typical services. But what we found is over time, you know, there was a firm name there. We had some financial planning stuff, so there was a company name there. There was, you know, so we found ourselves, you know, kind of one day sitting at a conference room table with a lot of different companies with a lot of different names, and said, wow, it's kind of hard to go to our customers and try to even suggest to them that we're all related, and somehow or another, this is there's a grouping of companies here with some synergy in and amongst themselves. And so one of the things we did, it's now been a year ago, is we said, let's go ahead and pull all the companies together under a single name. So Arxis, A-R-X-I-S, is the name of the name of the main group, and then from there we've got Arxis Technology, Arxis Financial, Arxis Wealth Management, and so forth. And that just gives us all, like I said, a common identity, because we all share the same facility here, as well as, like I said, the same mission, and that's really just, you know, helping our clients.
Well, I think the important thing and the takeaway for our listeners, I get used to, I oftentimes say readers, and I have to be very careful because these are actually listeners, but the important thing for our listeners to take away from this is that you eat your own dog food.
Correct.
You're not just some guy talking about what happens in an accounting firm, and then later on talking about what happens at a butcher or a baker or a candlestick maker. You live in an accounting office. You're right down the hall from somebody grinding out a tax return, right?
One just wandered by my door. So, yes, the answer is yes. I absolutely am living in that world.
Well, you know, and I think that's a really, really important thing. I'm I office with Eide Bailly, top 25 firm, and I'm sitting in that office right now. And when I go to the coffee room, it's full of accountants, and there's a couple hundred tax people wandering around here, and so I, you know, I'm immersed in it, and I choose to do that because I don't think that you can understand what those, you know, what the people in the profession are living through unless you're actually living it. That's one of the reasons, David, that I sought you out, for this particular podcast, because there's a lot to security, but, you know, frankly, you can go read PC World Magazine and get some understandings of what's going on. I want to talk about what's going on specifically for practicing public accountants.
Perfect. Well, again, that you just kind of, I think that's a nice way to put it, and that's absolutely my passion, what you just described.
Well, and you've demonstrated that passion. You do a lot of work with the Cal Society, I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, tell me about some of the stuff going on there.
Well, I got involved with the Cal Society actually through their Education Foundation, and both as an instructor, and they ultimately asked me to serve on the board, and I went so far as to actually be the president of the CPA, the Cal CPA Education Foundation, and that was several years back. I continue to be an instructor for them and teach regularly for them, but I have, like I said, served in a leadership position for them, as well as then serving the leadership position on the just the Cal CPA Council and Board as well. So I continue to be, you know, involved locally at the state level and as well as nationally.
And now, from watching some of the stuff that you do with the AICPA, are you about a half-time AICPA employee?
You know, when you ask a question like that, I would absolutely wonder whether or not you've been talking to my partners, because they wonder the same thing, I think, sometimes. But no, it's the type of thing where you know, I find myself, there's certain periods of time where I'm probably spending a good deal more time with it, and other times it's not quite as time intensive. But I really you know, I've been blessed to be asked to, you know, work closely with the AICPA on a number of their technology-related, you know, projects and initiatives and efforts. And so, yeah, I'm presently serving as the chair of the IT Executive Committee, and consider that a great honor, and do enjoy, you know, both leading that as well as just participating in a lot of the output that group works so hard to publish and bring to the end user community.
And you're being a little modest here too. You chaired the tech conference, now called Tech Plus, for several years.
Correct.
And, that's a huge undertaking. You still serve on that committee.
Correct.
And you've been driving the top tech initiative task force for several years. So there are times of the year, you know, that I see you at those meetings. Probably sometimes I see you more than some of your partners see you.
And maybe even more than my wife. So.
Well, that's really scary.
Yeah. Well, and it's got her a bit concerned too. But we're working our way through it.
Right. We don't want to go any farther.
Yeah.
That. Well, David, we kind of talked about how we were going to do, you know, the whole recurring podcast, and mm-hmm. you know, what we're going to do is talk about you know, kind of a you've developed what I saw you present just a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas at the Sleater Conference. I saw you present again your kind of overview security for practicing public accountants, and you put up on a slide what you called a short list, and the short list was darn long.
Correct.
There's a dozen or 15 areas, and there's all sorts of things. And as we talked about this, I said, you know, do we have enough content that we can keep that thing going? And after we visited for just a few minutes, we decided that that running out of content was not one of the things that we had to worry about.
I think there's a very low risk of that.
Right. So this whole thing, and I heard you describe it as that security is really a journey, and it's not a destination. It's not something you do and put away. It's something that you work on all the time, and you're never done. You're kind of measuring these things all the time. One of the things that I was impressed with, David, was something you called the goals of IT security. And it made me kind of sit back and say, well, that's really a good idea. You know, before you start, let's figure out what it is that we're trying to do. And nobody had ever done that for me in the security world. I always thought the goal of security experts was to scare the hell out of me. But you've kind of got this broken down. So walk through with me what you see as the goals. What is it that we're trying to do?
All right. Well, yeah. Just, I mean, in some of this, I think is just been a natural result or an evolution of a lot of what I stepped through. And actually, before, if you indulge me just a moment before we kind of step into the goals of IT security, one of the things that, as I was going through the actual IT certification process myself personally, one of the things, in fact, one of the things that actually motivated me to get started in this whole process was I kept looking for the short list. I was really, you know, all but begging, you know, anyone that I would that I felt had some experience and really some deep knowledge of IT security. I would ask them, you know, what is it as a small business owner? What is it as a practitioner? What is it I really need to be doing to be on guard? You know, how can I, you know, really reasonably protect myself? And so as I stepped through my whole process of you know, ultimately then saying, you know what, no one gave me that short list. I had a dickens of a time even getting really much in the way of simple answers. And I said, you know what, I'll go through the process myself, and maybe that will help me better protect our organization, help me better be a resource for our customers. And so all the while, though, as I went through this process, I said, what is that short list? What does it look like to really protect myself in a reasonable way? And so the short list I know that you had taken a look at, as well as, you know, just the stuff that we're going to be reviewing in the upcoming podcast, all is really kind of centered around that whole notion of really kind of the appropriate levels of care and protection and security and so forth. So again, do know that that's, you know, I'm strongly, you know, motivated, or that's really the background behind all of what we will present and share, is that level, that right level, right sized security. So with that, then, you know, before we really start, you know, installing appliances or you know, configuring software or doing whatever it is we are ultimately going to do to start putting protections in place, security, you know, measures in place, it's always one of those, you know, where it's usually best to start with kind of a high level, you know, overview or high level understanding of what it is we're even getting started with here. And so that's where the goals of security come in. And there's really what I'll call four goals of IT security. And, you know, just quickly, they're confidentiality, integrity, availability, and accountability. And I'll step through those just a little bit more here.
So all of the things that we're going to talk about, I mean, whether we're talking about, you know, a spam filter or you know, wireless security, whatever it is, the purpose of that is to meet one of those four goals.
Correct.
Is that right? And the, you know, well, I was particularly glad when I saw that you had availability there as a part of security, because sometimes I watch the security guys, and many times their approach is, well, I will lock everything down so hard that it's unusable.
Yep.
And I look at it and go, well, that's not a solution.
Correct.
That's like saying, okay, I mean, I have a retail store, and my solution to shoplifting is I'll not put any doors on the building, so nobody can get in. And they go, okay, well, then nobody can sell anything either.
True enough.
That's kind of, so I'm really glad that as we're talking about this, you're also, you know, going to raise your hand from the practicing accountant side and say, well, okay, well, that's fine, but you know what? I have to exchange files with my clients.
Absolutely.
I mean, perfect security is don't exchange files.
But, yeah, and I've always heard people say, you know, if you want you know, the perfect security, turn the machine off. And that's but you look at that and say those are unreasonable approaches. So yeah, you're right. In everything we talk about, we will talk about, you know, right-sized or reasonable steps and measures that we should be taking to protect ourselves. Understanding we'll never fully eliminate risk. You know, the risk of something, unless we just turn the machine off. But again, that's not a viable business solution. So we're gonna look to strike that right balance.
All right. So tell me, the first one of your goals is confidentiality, and I think I know what that means. But what does it mean in the IT world for practicing accountants?
Well, yeah, and you're right. It just, as the word implies, it's keeping information confidential, but it's really making sure that information is only available to those people who should have access or are authorized to have access to that information. So it's basically saying there's no basically unintended exposure, as well as no exposure to folks who, quite honestly, shouldn't have access to it because they're not authorized.
But now that includes, I mean, by definition, I think it doesn't necessarily stop at what I would call digital information. Grant Leach Bliley requires this, statements, responsibilities, and tax practice require this. Whether you disclose something on paper or in digital format, you still have that rule. I mean, we talked about, I was drilled in confidentiality when I started practicing public accounting, way back, geez, it was back in the 60s. So that part hasn't changed. It's just the style, or the format of the media. It's not the actual concept.
Correct. Yeah, and you're right. It's basically saying we need to take that same con that same cornerstone, protecting that information applies to this media just as it would any other as well.
Okay, so confidentiality is number one.
Uh-huh.
And number two, you said, was what, David?
The second one is integrity. And
Okay.
by the way, these aren't in any ranked order. These are all, think of these as basically legs on a stool.
Gotcha, okay.
So integrity is basically saying that the information itself is maintained and isn't changed in some unauthorized fashion. So in other words, it's valid, it's accurate, it's reliable, and it's not going to, and the integrity of that data is going to be maintained and not going to be basically erroneously or maliciously changed by someone or something looking to either attack it, compromise it. And so I think one of the things that always comes up here is we think of maybe an accounting system where the number one gets converted to a number 1,000, and most of us will look at that and say, well, that sounds like an error. But so much of what goes around IT security is, yes, attacks, and people trying to compromise and penetrate our systems and grab personal or confidential data, but potentially they could be looking to actually change information even in our system, as a way to basically compromise our operations as well. And
Sure.
so we, it's important that that no one is getting in and changing things in our system without without authorization as well.
Right. Okay.
So that's integrity.
Right.
And then moving on, availability is the third one. And so availability is, as you kind of kicked it off there a little bit, really is just saying we need to make sure that the systems and the information is available to us when it's when we need that information. And you're right, I still struggle with, or still am aggravated by, I'll even go a little, I guess it's a little bit stronger language, when I maybe am on the road or visiting in a hotel, and I realize that their own internal IT people have locked things down so in such a tight manner that it actually even prevents me from making connections back to my home office to maybe get on my VPN or to get email and stuff like that. So at some point again, it's all about balance, but the whole notion of availability is not just referring to denial of services attacks where someone's attacking our website or attacking our servers at the office and therefore the systems are unavailable to us. It's really the whole notion of, these are my computing assets. I should have access to the systems, the information, when I need it, based upon the fact that I'm an authorized individual. And so there's probably a lot of bumps in the road that prevent us from getting there from time to time, but that's all part of kind of striking that right balance in IT security.
Well, then also does the combination of integrity and availability then includes things like, for example, backup, which I don't think of necessarily as security, but it's all kind of under that umbrella, because if you don't have appropriate backup procedures, then your data may not be available because it's gone.
Correct. Absolutely. No. In fact, that's a perfect example of, you know, kind of how these pieces do tie together, and we do need to, in fact, have, you know, backups. I always tell folks that that's the last safety net in all of them. That is the last one. That's the very last thing that's potentially going to protect us. But if our systems have been compromised, things have either been erased or changed, I mean, it is that backup that's actually going to give us availability, you know, back to our information, you know, back to the correct information.
So, and then also over on the, I think on the equipment side, and maybe even on the services side, you have the whole question of equipment reliability and redundancy and things. I mean, you're living out in LA, and we visited about how funny it was. If you weren't involved in it, it was funny that half the LA airport was shut down because one bad network interface card, one NIC card, started chattering, and they shut the whole airport down because they didn't have appropriate redundancy built in. We don't think of that necessarily as security, but the fact that it failed created a real problem.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, I will tell you that, you know, I would not have wanted to be an international traveler at LA Airport, LAX, on that particular day. But yeah, perfect example of just really saying, you know what, it's about creating secure, redundant systems that give us the right information. But also, you know, that you're right, we do have, in fact, you know, by design, we've got a system that's got fault tolerance, and, you know, we're protected and reasonably, you know, have reasonable, you know, options available to us in terms of being able to recover from those very kinds of things that potentially, you know, in this case, brought, you know, a lot of travelers to an absolute dead standstill.
That was pretty interesting. So then the next part of that, then the last leg, and I like that that metaphor, the final leg is accountability. And as accountants, I guess we should be interested in accountability, right?
Yeah, true enough. And that's, you're right. The last piece is basically saying, you know what, when and as data is touched and changed and systems are updated and this actually occurs or takes place through just a variety of mechanisms, logging mechanisms, tracing mechanisms, just the normal, you know, IO process, but the whole, you know, thought behind making sure that we know who has done what, and that we can, in fact, you know, we have some breadcrumbs to bring us back to, you know, this information has changed or something is different today than it was yesterday, you know, who did that, and making sure that, you know, again, we've got the ability to say it's the right person, and they're an authorized individual, but we have that information that lives alongside of, you know, all the other data we're working with to say, here's who did that. And there is accountability, and definitely this is a core concept in any kind of auditing space, and within the auditing community, we want to make sure that there is accountability, so we understand, you know, who did what.
You know, the more I listen to you describe these things, the more I appreciate the stool metaphor, because none of these things are independent of each other. They all overlap, and overlap actually quite a bit. It's much like as I'm trying to envision your short list that you present. Each one of those items serve to shore up one or two or three, and many of them, all of those areas. So it's not I do this one thing to solve that one problem. I do all of these things to solve the whole problem.
Absolutely. So, I mean, they do. They're all, you know, very much interrelated. And I think what we'll find is we think our way through any one of the security measures that we'll be talking about in the months to come, is that as we lay each one of those down alongside these goals, we're going to find that certain measures are definitely going to be probably more centered or more focused on one versus another. But ultimately, they are absolutely dependent and fully interrelated. So they're definitely no one of them can be taken exclusively as being again number one or the most important. They are all interrelated and really that's part of the whole kind of thought process we want to keep going in the back of our mind as we step through this.
Right. Okay. Well, David, before we go any farther, I want to remind all of our listeners of a couple of things. You may be a new listener to the Intersection Live series. We do some other podcasts. The granddaddy of the podcast is called Tech2Go, and we've been doing Tech2Go for about a year. And we do that with Randy Johnson, Brent Goodfellow, and Dave McClure, and I host that. All of those guys write monthly columns for the CPA Technology Advisor. All are well recognized in the profession as experts. And Dave, I know you and Randy have worked real closely together. He's probably fair to say the most sought after speaker in the country. And
absolutely,
I think he's had number one ratings at the AICPA Tech Conference for 20 plus years. So we have a lot of fun with that. And if you go to our website, CPA Tech Advisor, the magazine lists all of the times we record all of our podcasts via TalkShoe. And we'll tell you here in just a little bit about when we're going to do each one of them. But on the magazine website, is always a listing of when we're going to record. Or you can go to TalkShoe.com. You can simply go to iTunes and subscribe to Intersection Live, and these will automatically just show up. And that's by far the easiest thing for me to do, personally, is to get them that way. And that gives me something to listen to when I go out and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So that works out pretty well. Now, Dave, you go out and run. I just walk. But I loved it. Well, I consume a lot of podcasts that way. Is that do you listen to podcasts when you run?
I do, actually. I listen to a number of different just a lot of different content when I'm running. When I'm not running with friends, I'm definitely listening to this stuff. And I guess the reason I run and maybe why you walk is I think I got a lot more people chasing me. So
that's probably right. Well, we will be recording the Accounting Firm Security to Go, Episode 2. We will be recording on Thursday, December 13th at 11 a.m. So if you're listening to this and you wanna join us live on TalkShoe, you're certainly welcome to join us. If you've got a question, you can that vehicle gives us a chance. You can raise your hand. We can actually bring you in and talk to you. And that's kind of fun. We do another podcast called Small Business Consulting to Go, and I do that with nationally recognized expert Doug Sleater in the QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Office Accounting, small business world. He's pretty much nationally recognized as the go-to guy in that area, and that's a real fun podcast. We talk a lot about the issues of technology in those areas. So we'd love to have you. If you do have questions, you can email. Just send me an email. I'd be happy to answer them. All of that contact information is available on the magazine website. You can dial 800-456-0864, and our extension is 2106. Leave us a message, a note, ask us a question. If they're good, we may even include them on the podcast, and we'll try to answer them. I do have one listener question, Dave, that I'm going to pose to you.
Okay.
We put this up on the website that we're going to be doing Accounting Firm Security to Go, and I got a question from Brenda Sumpner. And she's with Sartain Fishbein, and her question is, can you tell me what you think of CompuTrace LoJack for laptops? What kind of hard drive encryption software would you use for laptops? Any suggestions would be helpful. So can you kind of help out people who don't know necessarily, David, what this LoJack, and this happens to be a brand, but it's also a genre. There are other people that do this. What does this stuff do, and how does it work?
Great question. I appreciate that. The LoJack product, and there you're right. There's several of them. Although you know the CompuTrace is really the vendor behind this. The CompuTrace product is probably one of the more well known, or at least you know more talked about products out there. And I would tell you in general, I'm not a super big fan of what I'm going to call phone home products. And that's what this is really saying. You know what? In the event my laptop is stolen, I actually, you know, have pre-installed a piece of software on the drive or on the machine itself, such that then when, you know, the person who took off with my machine then turns it back on and reconnects to the internet, then my laptop will, you know, behind the scenes phone home and, you know, make me aware that, you know, my machine has been turned back on, and it'll give me an IP address and you know, ultimately, I can get law enforcement involved and work to recover that, you know, based upon, you know, what IP address is used when that user reconnects. Now, it's interesting because, Beachhead is another product I'd actually heard of recently and kind of walked and talked and thought through this with another colleague of mine. And one of the things I was basically sharing is, you know, today, as we look at laptops especially and think about how many laptops get stolen and, you know, using something like this LoJack product, which really does, in fact, require the user to connect to the internet, the thief to connect to the internet in order for the machine to be, you know, rediscovered and ultimately for us to kind of get, you know, law enforcement involved. I look at that and I say, you know what, I know that generally speaking, most folks who are stealing machines aren't the super brightest people in the world, but because of, you know, passwords and encryption and really just the fact that hard drives, quite honestly, are dirt cheap. Most folks today who are stealing laptops are saying, you know, forget that. I'm just going to drop my own new drive in there. And, you know, that's the way I'll hawk the machine is basically the machine plus a new hard drive. There you go. And so I look at products like that and I just don't think they're probably a good investment or worth the money. So I would rather see us doing a better job of encrypting the hard drive, which is exactly what the question is progressing toward here. Rather see us do a much better job of encrypting the contents of the hard drive. So even if and when and as that ever comes to pass, machine does get stolen, that the thief is not able to get any of the information off there because I've done a good job of locking down the data and they have no choice but to replace the drive.
Now there are a couple of ways to, you know, to do that. One of the things that CompuTrace type products, and basically they're the corporate level products in there, will actually send a signal to trash the hard disk if it's stolen. I mean, I like your approach, which is encrypt it so well that you don't have to worry about it. But there's also that the ability to send a signal out to trash it. Or there's a product that's actually a product that I've used called NTracker that is not only does encryption but gives you, you know, you can set it 3 or 4 or 6 whatever guesses it is at your password.
Yep.
And at some point it says, okay, you're not real, and just trashes the whole hard disk.
And that makes great sense. The whole notion of, you know, I'll give you 3 swipes and gosh knows, you know, if you're the one actually miskeying the password one day, that could be a sad day. But after a certain number of failed attempts, the whole notion of just melting down the contents of the drive, in other words, you know, wiping the whole thing clean, makes great sense. I think that's a good approach.
Well, just to add another note to all of our listeners, and I apologize, I probably should have told you this before, no need to, if you're listening to this while you're driving or running or something, no need to run over and try to quickly write down a product name or a website. They will all be in our show notes, and they're posted on the CPA Technology Advisor website under Intersection Live. Every show is there. And all of the show notes are there. Our producer goes through and listens to everything that my guests have to say. And so each of these products that we've talked about, if we mentioned websites or anything like that, they'll all be in the show notes. So it makes it very handy for you to go back and look, and that way they got a chance, David, to actually go out and check out some of the things that you'll mention from time to time.
Terrific.
So next month, David, we're going to talk about antivirus and spam and spyware. Now, that seems like a pretty big thing. Spam is probably big enough to talk about all by itself, but we'll give it a shot. To kind of tell me what that's going to sound like when we talk about that next month.
Well, I think what we're going to do is, especially in the area of spam, we're going to look at those areas where end users kind of interface or touch the outside world the most, and definitely the inbox, the email inbox, is one of those key areas. And so as we look at some of the things that potentially come through our inbox, and what are some of the security measures that can help protect that whole experience, and whether it's keeping some of the bad stuff out so we're not even tempted to click on it or confused by it, or if in the event that it does make it through, what are some of the other tools right around that are going to actually help us make certain that those basically malicious messages don't in fact turn into create real problems for us.
Well, and that's part of that kind of goes back to this availability thing, because even in the spam world, I mean, one person's entertainment is another person's spam, right?
Absolutely.
We don't have to go any farther.
Yeah, it sure does give you a lot of good material to choose from at the microphone. But you're right; it is just some crazy, crazy stuff. In fact, I got a spam message just last week. In fact, it hit my email box right about the time it hit Doug Sleater's email. You mentioned Doug Sleater, so he gave me a phone call. Said, "Dave, you got to take a look at this. I'm looking at this message, and we'll talk more about this next time." But it was just so darn convincing that it even kind of got him up out of his chair. And I said, interestingly enough, Doug, I just got it myself, and yes, it's absolutely a hoax, and here's some of the things that caught my eye, but boy, the stuff has just gotten so darn just good. It really is difficult sometimes to even, be able to kind of separate the legitimate from the not, and so it is really, these are definitely challenging times to be using an email inbox, let's just put it that way.
Well, all I can say is that if it's got people like Doug Sleater and Dave Cieslak scared and confused and concerned and looking at it saying, gee, I'm not quite sure, then, what are all the rest of us poor schmucks supposed to do? So I'm looking forward to next month. David, we are out of time. I want to thank you again for being so gracious as to agree to share your depth and breadth of knowledge again in another format with the profession. You're certainly doing a lot to help our profession protect itself, and I on behalf of our profession, I want to thank you for that. This has been Accounting Firm Security to Go, Episode 1. My guest has been Dave Cieslak with Arxis Technology out in L.A. And again, our telephone number, 800-456-0864, extension 2106. We will return next month, December 13th, 11 a.m. That's a Thursday. We will be discussing antivirus and spam and spyware. Until then, David, have a great Thanksgiving and travel safely, and we'll visit again on the 13th.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Episode 1 is done.
That wraps up this edition of Accounting Firm Security to Go. Join Greg and Dave again next month for more insight and advice on security issues.
This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.